Blog Talk Radio.
O Lord, our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength, because of thine enemy thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thine hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. We are so glad today on this wonderful, this sensational and sensational Saturday, guys. You got it. The 22nd of April, 2017. You tune into What's Happening Now, where we give you news and views with a Christian and spiritual perspective. You've got your host with the most from coast to coast, the Esquire, Abby A. Phelps, known as your Malta City Maharani, just saying, enjoy life, because life is worth living, and God's love continues to be on the path of that keeps on giving. And this is an opportunity and a time for us to connect in a way of Christian fellowship, in a way of Christian harmony, in educating and empowering one another to give us the ability to move forward, full faith, accelerated path in a direction that will lead and enhance the lives of others. First natural, then spiritual. This is a way of actually outlining the pathology in which God will have us to travel. Because in traveling this journey called life, we're going to encounter things. Some things are going to be pleasant. Some things are not going to be pleasant. Some things fruitful and multiplicious to our spiritual growth. Some things that if we're not careful and walking in the spirit, man, we will be stunted in our spiritual growth. That's why it's so important for us to connect in Christian unity and in Christian harmony. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And that's what it's all about here on What's Happening Now, brought to you over the airwaves of blogtalkradio.com. Again, we're so very happy to have with us a wonderful brother whom I know we have all been inspired by, the wonderful publications. His first publication, Set the Path on Fire. When he asked us the question, are you a liability or an asset to the kingdom of God? He was asking us a question. He was asking us to do a checkup from the neck up and from the neck down, not just checking the very apparatus of our physical man, but the very aspect of our spiritual life. Was our walk and our talk measuring up to the standards that God had in place for each and every one of us? And even so, that wonderful follow-up workbook that allowed us to kind of work out a strategic plan, to kind of outline some things, some areas of our weaknesses where we need to strengthen, and in the areas that we were strong in to keep on and to fortify those areas. And one very key factor that I thought was so excellent about Brother James Brown's book was that it fell right in line with the Word of God. It fell right in line with the Scripture that told us to take unto us the whole armor of God. That's right, so that we would be able to stand up against the wiles of the enemy, having done to all to stand in that evil day, how we need to dress to kill off the attacks of the enemy. That's right. And I thought that that book was really the pathology for everyone who was walking the walk as they talked the talk. So, and after he was so blessed to do that publication, he came up with numerous other publications that talked about the military. That's right. It talked about God, the universe, and man, giving us other perspectives. That's right, according to the Christian philosophy. And not only is he a dedicated writer, and in my terminology, an award-winning writer, because he wrote some stellar publications that have really been a great enlightenment to so many of us, he is a musician. He is a talented singer. He is a prayer warrior. and he is a show host. And he also hosts a show right here on the blogtalkradio.com network asking the same question, are you a liability or an asset to the kingdom of God? And I'm so glad to have him this afternoon with us. He's warming up in the bullpen, guys. We're going to be in a very heated discussion because he has just recently published part two of his book, Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God? And part two, this is a tough one. Guys, you better get your pen and your paper out. The part two scenario that's reflective of this publication is asking, are you scattering God's flock? And to kind of connotate onto what Brother James Brown is going to be talking about in his book and giving us some further enlightenment, I want to go to Matthew, the 24th chapter. That's right, the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, the Gospel to Matthew, according to the philosophical projection of the Jewish lineage. And I love the 23rd verse we're going to start at, saying that if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. You want to back up scripture, go to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and you know the Gospel of Mark was according to the Romans. The 13th chapter and the 21st verse connotates with that as well. 24th verse says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, and so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. That's right. So therefore, our Messiah, our Savior, was telling us, look, listen, learn, respond. Because there's going to come false Christ, false leaders, false prophets. We're going to deceive many. They will become teachers, having itching ears, destroying and scattering the flock of God. But nevertheless, our Messiah gives us connotation, gives us inspiration, lets us know that by their fruits we will know them. And Apostle Paul even says, if an angel come unto me preaching any other gospel than that which was received from God, he said, you know what? I let that angel be accursed. So we need to have our eyes and our ears open and let us hear what the Spirit would say unto the church, because we, as Christian believers that are walking the walk as we talk the talk, we are the church. And I actually delivered a message saying, you are the church, aren't you? And it answers the question as to whether or not you understand the difference between the spiritual church, the true church, and the natural church. The natural building is not going to save you. Only the blood of Jesus Christ is going to redeem you from the handiworks of the enemy. Only the redemptive qualities of the blood of Jesus is going to wash you whiter than snow. Only will the Holy Spirit come to lead you and guide you into all manner of truth that will lead you through the path of eternal life. That's right. Whereas you and I will only face the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, because he's our Lord of lords and the King of kings. But to those who reject this gospel, who reject this truth, they're going to face the white throne judgment in which God the Father will hold them accountable for rejecting the truth. So here's the preparation time, the preparation phase. Look at this as another lesson to be learned, to be applied to your life, my life, and to the lives of so many others. Take this word, run with it. That's right, because there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God that's in us all, works through us all, and with us all. It's in him we live, we move, and we have our being. So now we've set the format, we've set the deeds that our wonderful presenter this afternoon, in which I'm going to be dialoguing with him, and he's going to give us the word of knowledge and encouragement, reflective of his book, reflective of his testimony. I'd like to introduce to some and reintroduce to others our beloved brother, James Brown, Jr. That's right. We're so glad to have you this afternoon, Brother James.
Praise the Lord. It's such a pleasure to be with you once again, you and your listening audience on tonight. I am so grateful to be your guest again on tonight, to be able to share with the listeners part two of Are You a Liability to the or an Asset to the Kingdom of God? And part two, as you forestated, is titled, Are You Scattering God's Flock?
Yes.
And as Christians, sometimes we can be assets to the kingdom of God, but sometimes we can be unaware and how we act and how we show ourselves to other people through our attitudes of negativity. And sometimes we can cause the flock to scatter just by simple things, by having such a negative attitude. And this book is not only talking to the lay members of the church. I'm talking about members of the body of Christ who are in high positions within the body of Christ in the church, such as pastors. And you have some people on praise teams. You have people in high positions in the church up front, people that are scattering God's flock, and that is very dangerous. So when you scatter God's flock, that makes you a liability to the kingdom of God. And so we as Christians today, we need to always, according to God's word, we must examine ourselves. We must examine ourselves according to the word of God to make sure that our lives are lining up with the word of God, because being a Christian is a lifestyle. It's not just on a Sunday or Wednesday, whenever your Bible study date is. It's a lifestyle. It's every day. Because as I forestated before numerous times, and I always say this, and it's very true, that some people never walk into a church building where the saints gather to give God praise and worship. But they see you, who said that you are saved and blood washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and you're born again, and you love the Lord. But your actions and your negativity and your attitude do not reflect Jesus Christ. That's and so that's dangerous. So that's why it's so important that we make sure that we are being assets to the kingdom of God and not liabilities. And also we must make sure that we are not scattering God's flock.
All right. Amen. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That lays the foundation for us to bear the fruits of the Spirit. And as you indicated in your publication, that you're careful to address individuals who are in posture and positions, because this sometimes, you know, the scripture tells us that pride goeth before destruction and the Holy Spirit before the fall. And sometimes people get wrapped up in names and entitlements and think that they can treat others as their inferiors or their lesser than equals. And the scripture tells us that the six things of the law of hate and the seven of the abomination, he that soweth seeds of discord among the brethren. And another aspect that God really despises is that proud look. Have you found, and did you base some of the information that you publicized in your book upon true experience that you've had one-on-one in various congregations, or perhaps the testimonies that other people may have shared with you?
Yes. Before I go into that, I in my book, this latest book that God has blessed me to write, because it's such a needed book at such a time as this, because the handwriting is on the wall, Jesus Christ is soon to return again, and he's coming back after his church. And we are the church, those who are saved in Jesus' name. We are the church. And so many people have it confused, because they go to a place of worship where we gather together as a corporate body to give God worship and praise and glory. But we are the church. That's who Jesus is coming back for. He's not coming back for a building.
No.
And so we need to make sure that we are not scattering God's flock. So as we get ready to go into this, I like to go into the introduction part of this book. And I think this is going to give you an overview of what part two is all about.
Yes.
And it says, as we know that Christians can, at times, in different areas of our lives, we can be liabilities to the kingdom of God and the body of Jesus Christ. Now we look at how Christians can also scatter God, the flock of God. His word continuously warns us that if we're not careful in our Christian walk, we can easily be both liabilities and scatterers of his flock. For such a time as this, we must, again, I stress, we must be sure our lives individually, our life and our lives as Christians line up with the will and purpose of God each and every day, not just on a Sunday. We want to be pleasing to him, God, in every way as a lifestyle of being more like Jesus Christ, because we see now more than ever that these are the times that try mankind's heart, mind, and soul.
That's right.
We know that the enemy, which is Satan, the devil, he is still using more technology and subtle ways to infiltrate the mind of mankind, to destroy man before he can become into the reality that God is real and that he loves all mankind. Not only does our lives matter to him, all souls matter to him even more. His word lets us know that it is his desire that no soul be lost.
All right now. Powerful. Powerful. So you utilize some of the aspects of people that have shared things. And I refer to it, in Brother James and listening audience, as a church hurt. And this is
yes.
more hurts to experience in your life. You know, you can have a broken heart from puppy love in your teenage years, maybe a bad relationship in your early phase of development. But when you suffer a church hurt, I'm a testimony that damage in a congregational setting. So many people confuse the congregational setting with God. And I went 5 years through the wilderness. And wandering in the wilderness, you know, still saved, still trusting God, but had this heavy burden in my heart. And this one day, it just came to me that, you know something, that physical building is not God. This is not the church. As you stated, this is the congregational gathering place. God is a spirit. They that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. Don't hold this heaviness toward God because of man's imperfections. And somebody in listening land out there, you've had that experience. Don't confuse the two. You need to understand that if Jesus Christ is Messiah, we just got through reading the Word of God that validates what we're saying. The 24th chapter, we read verses 23 and 24 in the book Gospel according to Matthew. That's right. So, therefore, that let us know that these false prophets, these false leaders are going to come, and they're going to seduce people. They're going to, you know, be able to have the ability to produce false miracles to guide people into their system. But lo and behold, just as Jim Jones produced false miracles to those poor people in Jonestown in the late 70s, and they ended up getting recruited into the bandwagon of evil, and so many of them paid with their lives. There were very few survivors. So it's important, as Brother James is going to kind of take further discuss his book, that you watch as well as that you enter not into diverse temptations. And you know something? We're going to give a word of prayer with you to those of you who have had that spiritual shipwreck, and you can't seem to get it back right. You can't seem to want to get back in fellowship with God. God knows. He feels. He understands. He knows the amount of hairs we have on our head. He knows the expansion of our chronological years to dwell on the planetary or earthly domain. So he
Amen.
Knows is waiting for you. And Brother James, kind of talk about that shipwreck spirit sometimes when people don't understand the aspects of how people can become disenfranchised with Christianity in general based upon experience.
Well, me personally, my first intention was, I have dealt with and have spoken with so many different people in the body of Christ who have been hurt by other members in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
But I went a different direction. Instead of putting other people on the spot regarding in this book, I went and I used some of my personal experiences as church hurt that I have included in this book. Are you scattering God's flock? Because I'm using myself as an example of things that actually happened to me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if you buy this book and you read it, and you're going to see some of the things that I've mentioned, and I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, about some of the things, how I have been personally hurt by church members in the body of Christ, that I could have walked away from the Lord
yeah.
at an early age, because, and still to this day, I sometimes still suffer church hurt. But
yes.
by me being rooted and grounded, and that's the key word, you got to be rooted
yes.
and grounded in the Word
yes.
so that when these things do come, when people do approach you and hurt your feelings and through the in the body of Christ, that you will be able to stand your ground and stand on the Word, and you will not leave or scatter God's flock because of someone else that is in the body of Christ who are being used by the enemy to try to hurt you or to scatter you away from God. So
yes.
somebody at an early age, and I was at this time, I was still in high school.
Okay.
I had a minister. He was the pastor of the church, and I'm not going to name the church, but he was the pastor of the church. He came to me by me being about, I think I was around 17 because I was still in high school. And he wanted me to become a young deacon because he knew that the older deacons that he had on the deacon board at that church, every time he came up with ideas, they was going to more or less shut them down, and he wasn't going to agree with him. So he figured that by him having me on his side as a young deacon, I would be one of those that would say yes to whatever he said. And so one of the things that he did was he got me a good job. At the job where he worked at, the same place where he worked at, he got me this good job, and I ended up working there, but I still did not join the deacon board because I knew that was not my calling. I knew the Lord let me know then that's not what I want you to do. That's him speaking through his flesh. So that's not what I want you to do. And so I did not take that position and become a deacon. And do you not know the same minister, he was in the pulpit a couple of years ago preaching the gospel and dropped dead, had a heart attack right in the church.
Jesus, look at that.
I've had people, I have been threatened in the church by another church member. I have been threatened to have my brains blowed out in the church, and I was a young youth director at a church, and I've had someone mention, and because they didn't understand what was going on, they never got both sides of the story. They only heard one side of the story, and I was threatened in the church, but that did not stop me or deter me from walking away from God. I stayed rooted in the Lord. I am still going through an experience in church hurt now. I've had so many different cases and incidents that I've experienced within the body of Christ even today. And people think they're really using you because they think you're naive and they don't see the God that you really, that God is really in you. And that's what I love about God. He searches the heart.
Oh, yes.
See, man looks at the outside. That's what he can only see, the outside. But God, he knows us. Like you said, he knows the number of hairs on our heads. And he knows our hearts. He knows who are being doers of his word without hidden motives and agendas.
That's right.
Because that's why we have so much church hurt now, today.
Yes.
Because so many up in front, even some pastors and bishops and apostles and prophets or whoever they may be, whatever the title, musicians, praise team directors and leaders, some of them have hidden motives and agendas, and some of them are not called by God. That's another reason why you have to make sure that you're rooted and grounded in the word, and you have to make sure that your life is lining up with the word of God so that when these times and things do happen, because the enemy is always going to be busy, and he's always going to try to get you off your track. He's always trying to get you out of your lane, what God put you in, so that you cannot fulfill your God purpose. So you got to know your purpose. First and foremost, you have to know your God purpose, and you got to make sure that you're walking in your God purpose, and don't let nobody, even those that are Christians saved in the body of Jesus Christ, that you praise the Lord with each and every Sunday. Some of them are doing different things that you see with your own eyes, and you know it's not of God. So don't let them cause you to scatter God's flock, and don't let them cause you to be a liability to the kingdom of God. But I have so many other things that's in this book pertaining to myself that caused me church hurt. But I thank God I got saved at 8 years old, and I can say right now, and I'm not ashamed to say I am 59 years old now. I've been walking with the Lord 51 years. And so I've had a lot of experiences of church hurt. I've even had people come up to me and tell me, you're not anointed to play the organ. You're not a musician. And then they turn right around at a funeral when I get through playing for a funeral. Oh, you play the organ real good, baby. Oh, the Lord really anointed you. He blessed you. Oh, but that's all right. I know who I am in the Lord.
All right.
So you have to know who you are and whose you are in the Lord. And don't let nobody stop. I don't care if it's a bishop or a pastor, whoever it is. Don't let them or cause them to let you be one of those that scatter and walk away from God. In other words, you're scattering God's flock. So God don't want you to scatter his flock. He wants you to be a doer of his word and not a hearer only.
That's right. That's right. Oh, that's a beautiful testimony. You know something, something that you reflected back on also can reflect back on some of the things I experienced. I have had, and this is a sad reality, the actual leaders of congregations, and I'm like you, I try to be respectful and reputable and not call names.
Amen.
But to stand up and say to me, you're not going to run my church. You're not going to preach in my church. I don't like what you said. Or trying to manipulate the gift of God. I said, this gift of God is bigger than me. It's far larger than I. I have no control over how the Lord will lead me. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's right.
Yes.
We know the Spirit of the prophet is son to the prophet, but God knows what the prophet and the prophetess needs to say at that hour. But we say we submit our members unto God. We're therefore rendering and surrendering our will, our words, our way to his way. And if our ways offend those who are not walking the walk as they're talking the talk, well, then so be it. Because he said we obey God rather than man. That's right. And this
That's
is
the
what,
word.
phone. That's right. That's the word. And it's so important, as Brother James was saying about through his experience. I'm telling you through my experience that you never lose out, even right now. It's that the enemy has gotten into a person, and they're like the spirit of envy has came and attached upon them and tried to attack the gift of God. But you know something? Greater is he, and as you say, that it's in you and it's in me, than he that is in the world. And Jesus told us, behold, I am the victory of that overcometh the world and even your faith. So
and also, I didn't mean to cut you, but why you're saying that, and I'm going to put a pin, what you right there, where you just stopped at. We as Christians, what we need to do, and when we are being approached by people that we know that the enemy is using,
yes,
to try to turn us away from God, we have to not look at the individual, not look at the person, but we as Christians, we need to learn how to look behind the person and see who's causing them to act like that or say the things that they're saying, and we know that's the enemy. And so that's why we have to, even though they are trying to talk us down or out of and say that we're not where we are and we're not called or anointed by God, we still have to love those individuals.
That's right.
We still have to pray for them. We still have to treat them right, even though they are trying to cause us to scatter God's flock or cause us to be a liability to the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
still, as Christians, we have to learn how to overlook them and
yeah.
still pray for them and still love them and treat them the way Jesus would treat them.
All right. Yeah, that's a powerful word. And, you know, I'm reminded of our Lord telling us, he said, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that despitefully use you. And in doing so, you shall heap coals of judgment upon their head. Then I'm reminded what God told Moses. You know, that vengeance is mine. I will repay. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And this is what we have to do, as you stated, so that we don't become that liability. And the liability sometimes is not to get back at people. The liability becomes our attitude. We become ungrateful. We start complaining. We start seeing everything that's wrong within the realm of our calling and saying, Lord, woe is me, because it's what I call the Jeremiah complex. We start lamenting and woe is me, why me, and things of that measure. And then what we reflect on in the common sense of what you just said, and through your experiences and my experiences, the reason why so many individuals who profess Christianity, but they're not living the life and not bearing the fruit, is that what was referred to in the first chapter of the book of Romans, the carnal Christians. This is
yes.
that they persecute the spiritual true Christians because they're carnal. They're still trying to be worldly at the same time profess spirituality. And that's a state of confusion. That's chaos.
And at the same time, they're so full of envy and jealousy because of what they see that the Lord is doing through you, so they cannot fulfill their own God purpose because they're so focused on watching what God is doing through you. And so they miss out on their blessing because they're trying to tear you down and trying to make everybody think that you're not what God called you to be. But when you know within yourself that God has anointed you and called you for such a time as this to do whatever it is that is for the in the kingdom of God in the earth, then he is going to continue to bless you. He's going to even strengthen you even more to be more powerful, to be the man or woman of God that he's called you to be.
Oh, that's powerful. Oh, my gosh, that is powerful. What you're saying is so powerful because God gets the glory from you, then they become envious, as you say, and they don't even know they're being used by the enemy, which is so sad. Because, as you stated, God uses them as a footstool to hoist you up even higher. And we don't even have to worry about what they're going to try to do because, as God said, he gives his angels charge over us.
And he said, no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, he's going to condemn.
Yes. Come on here now. Say it again. That's right.
No weapon. I don't care how big or small it is or who it is. No weapon that's formed against us, those who are being doers of his word, no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, God is going to condemn. I don't have to condemn them. You don't have to condemn them. God is going to do it himself.
Come on here now. Oh, now you're speaking the word and power and authority. And I'm just looking as you're speaking at the third chapter of the book of Romans, the gospel to the book of Romans, and how Apostle Paul spake in the third chapter. And I'll just even start with the 14th verse. He says, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. I mean, cause issues and cause problems. Destruction are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. He said, now we know that what things soever the law says is safe to them who are under the law, and every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by Jesus' law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. And so if they're trying to be legalistic in the way of appropriating their position and the authority they think they have, and God has not promoted such a catastrophe, quote-unquote, me not to say that, they're abiding in the law, and God does not look favorable upon them. And as you said, he said his vengeance is upon them that wrong his people who are anointed and appointed for the duties to be carried out. And God has placed each of us, as you stated, Brother James, in configurative roles in this body, configurative members in this body to carry out that commission. And if anything and anyone comes against us in doing so, God will remove them. And you testify.
Yes, he will. I'm a witness. I've seen him do it.
That's right.
And he will do it. He will do it. He will do it. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Yes, he said it. Yes.
And it goes back to what you said. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. You don't have to try to repay nobody. God see everything they're doing, and he got a time set for them.
That's
so you just continue to do what God called you to do, and you just keep praying for them, and you keep being the doer of God's word and being an asset to the kingdom of God.
Come on here now. Oh, yes. Amen. Amen.
And while we're talking about that, Sister Feb, before the time consumes us, I'd like to let the listeners know that I am not the only author in my family. God has anointed and blessed me and four other siblings of mine to be authors also.
Oh, praise the Lord. What a blessing.
Yes. So this book, Are You Scattering God's Flock, is available now at Amazon.com with all my other books, God, the Universe, and Man, subtitled How We Are Connected. And then, of course, Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God? And it also has a reflective journal. All those books are available through Amazon.com. And some of them are available in Detroit, Michigan at God's World Bible Bookstore. And also at Baker's Bible Bookstore on Grand River. God's World is located on West 7 Mile in Detroit. But Are You Scattering God's Flock will be available soon, along with my other books, at God's World and also at Baker's Bible Bookstore in Detroit.
Oh, great.
But they're available now at Amazon.com.
Okay, at Amazon.com. So for the listening audience, before we have another about 15 minutes, we're going to repeat that information again so you can be sure to pick up these publications, because they are insightful, they're intuitive, and they're actually giving you some forbearance in the areas of your life, maybe things that you have never even thought about. It's the little foxes that destroy the vine.
Yes, amen. That's the truth. Yes, Lord.
Yes, indeed. And sometimes people are looking at the crest of the mountain, but what about those steps and those laterals that get you up that mountain? And your books, definitely, with a being, whether you're a liability or asset to the kingdom of God, which really started this whole new faith movement, is a really, really good way to get into that mindset. So we can start doing some self-character, some assessments of the environment of people who are associated, whether they're commutable or non-commutable. It gives us that forbearance, and that's awesome. That's just really
amen.
Awesome.
Because, you know, but the people, and some people in the body of Christ who are calling the scattered, are scattering God's flock, apparently they are so spiritually blind and they've been used by Satan so hard, they fail to remember that we are going to stand before God one day and give an account.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And, you know, it's so interesting you would say that, Brother James, is the fact that those of us who have went through and have done what thus saith the Lord, we thank God we are only going to go before the feet of Christ, who is going to place us according to our deeds, because we're going to be sitting in the state of the Lord. But the ungodly, these carnal Christians, these evil people, they're going to have to go before the white throne judgment. That's sentence. See that? We're going to price for rewards. When we stand before his feet, we're going to be rewarded. That's the reward side. But the
yes, Lord.
Throne of judgment, those are the hypocrites, the half-steppers, those liabilities, those people who just abused the position and the power that they thought they had to maintain based upon name recognition, whatever have you, they're the ones that's going to have to face the white throne judgment. They better get it right before it's too late, get it straight before it's too late.
Yes, Lord Jesus, God help us.
That's right, that's right, that's right. And since you just made those words, I just went to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, and Romans is really, really dealing with your factor about liabilities versus assets. And it says, the third verse, it says, so what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law may be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the seventh verse, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Eighth verse, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And that's talking about that liability factor. The liability.
Yes. Exactly. That's exactly right. You definitely become a liability when you, oh my God, when you're not walking according to God's word, and when your lifestyle is not lining up with the word of God, and when you walk around boasting and bragging about what you have and what you think you can do, and God has not anointed you for it. Because I see so many times in so many churches, because by me being a singer and musician also, I'm blessed to be able to for funerals, and I go to different churches in different cities, and I play at whatever the Lord used me, and I see so many different musicians and people in praise teams, and the Lord is going to hold some of these pastors accountable, because some of them, and a lot of them, know already that some of the people they have on these praise teams and some of these musicians, these pastors know that they're not saved.
That's right. That's right.
And not only do the pastor know they're not saved, the people in the congregation know they're not saved.
Hey, come on here now. That's right.
So you're trying to use people in the body of Christ that are not saved, trying to worship and praise God, not to say that God don't get glory out of the praise service, but we have to be so careful about who we bring into our and what type of atmosphere and the type of people that are up front, especially those that are up front. Even the sinners, that when they come in, those are the first people they're going to see is the people that's up front. And you're not saved. And you come in the church, in the body of Christ, you come into a worship center, a praise center, and you watching all of this, and I've seen this happen, people that are not saved, because they come in and they're curious, and they're watching, and they're looking for any excuse, and that's what the devil wants them to do, is go in as spectators to see or find a good reason why they can't give their life to Jesus Christ. Okay, I walked into this one church, and I wasn't saved, and I saw how the praise team members were dressed. Yes. I saw some of the young ladies was dressed with the short dresses on, with the low-cut blouses on, and I saw some of the musicians, how they came in with the saggy pants on the organ, on the drums, and on the guitars, and as soon as the preacher started preaching, they get up and walk out, and as soon as the preacher get ready to end the sermon, they come back and get back on the instruments. So what is that saying to the people that are not saved?
That's right. They can turn it on and turn it off.
That's right, and God is not pleased with that.
No, he's not pleased with it. That's right. Like they're operating, that's right, a crank machine. They can crank it up when they want the attention to be the focus and then turn it off when the focus is not on them.
Exactly. But guess what? The focus is going to be turned on you when you stand before God. The spotlight is going to be on you. And the whole world, everybody going to see and know. Because God's going to reveal it. Because there's nothing hidden from God.
That's right. That light going to be going to be a flashlight. It'll be the sunlight. It'll be right
on. You're going to see every speck of dirt, every piece of dust, everything that you thought was hidden, that you got out that corner. No, you left some dust in that corner, and God's going to reveal it.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, it's so funny you would say that, Brother James. One of our food service coordinators had named for the children's sleep. Said, come on out that corner. You can't hide.
That's what you can't hide from God. No hiding place.
That's right. They go outside, like you said, they're on these instruments, making a public show with people looking at them and admiring them. The minute the word comes forth, they get up and walk out, go outside, do their little do outside, and use profane lace, come back in and put on. It's like a stage performance.
Exactly. But the spotlight on them. Look at me. Look what I can do.
That's what it is.
But they don't have no word in them. They don't have no word in them at all.
No, they don't. If you ask them, what, give me one scripture in the Bible, the shortest one, I don't know. That's the first thing you have to say.
And that was Jesus wept. It's the shortest one. Jesus wept. I can tell you what it was. Jesus wept is the shortest.
Yes, that's right. And they had to use a cheat sheet from one of the children to get that. You know, when you ask them these rap songs, they can give you verse by verse. You know,
that's right.
Rhythm by rhythm. A breakdown by breakdown. And this is so sad. Again, it goes back to the carnality factor. They're taking the flesh and trying to glorify God in the flesh. It's the flesh and blood can't enter into the kingdom of God. They don't
have right.
flesh. That's right. Cannot please God.
And that's
you
right.
You represent the anointing, and, you know, you're breaking through because you're under the anointing when you're playing, you know, your instrument. You're under the anointing when you're singing, and you're under the anointing when you're operating. They get angry and hate you. They can't even
yes,
tell you why
yes.
they don't like you. They can't tell you.
That's right. You know, I was speaking to one of the members at my church recently about my new book. I told him the book has been released, and I gave him the title because he already knew about the first book, Are You a Liability? But he didn't know about part two, Are You Scattering God's Flock? So when I told him this, the title of the book, he said, oh, my goodness. He said, oh, my God, people are going to be mad at you. They're not gonna be mad at me. I said if they mad at me, they're gonna be mad at me because I'm telling them the truth through the word. If they got a problem with it, they need to take it up with God.
That's right. Come on here now. That's right. They need to take it up with Him. And
I'm just doing what God anointed me to do and called me to do. I'm just doing my part for trying to fulfill my God purpose.
That's right. That's what you're doing, and God's getting the glory from what you're doing. And if they know what's right, this is the configuration, another piece in the jigsaw puzzle that could possibly help them to address where their areas of weakness and contingency are.
That's
you know,
it.
It's for our edifying, and so many people, they're carnal Christians, and it's sad to say this, Brother James Brown, that, you know, they don't want to see it from the perspective. They look at us and say, well, they're weird, they're strange. But see, we are peculiar people.
That's the word. You're in the word now. That's the word. Yes, it is. Peculiar people. You're not always going to be understood.
That's right. Always misunderstood. But then he said, if you're understood by the word and the Lord love you, you're not walking according to the word.
Amen. He said, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be lied on. All these type of things, just like Jesus went through. If you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be lied on. You're going to be hated. People are going to be jealous and envious of you because you're fulfilling your God purpose. So don't worry about that. You just keep, forget those things that are behind you. Press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's powerful. That's a powerful word. And thank you, Lord, for using you in that capacity, pressing toward that mark. That's right. We're too blessed to be stressed. That's right. And everything of God is manifesting His word, His will, and His way through you and through me and so many that go forth in doing His work and His will. Because He said, you go in the vineyard and work. He said, what other right? I'm going to pay you.
That's what He said. In due time, He's going to pay. He said, don't you worry about it. You just keep being faithful.
That's right.
Keep being faithful. Keep walking in your purpose. And in due time, you're going to reap if you faint not.
Come on here now. You're saying the word. That's right. Be weary not in your well doing, for you shall reap in due season if you faint not.
Amen. Because that's what the enemy wants you to do is give up. And as soon as people start down talking you because they don't really know you, because they feel that you're not anointed or called by God, that's what the enemy does. So don't let that distract you. Again, I stress those people, and I do it all the time. I smile in people's faces all the time that I know they don't like me. And they don't have to tell me. Their attitudes tell me. And the way they treat me tells me, you don't have to open your mouth and tell me anything. Your attitude can tell me a whole lot. And the way you roll your eyes at me and the way you walk away from me while I'm talking to you, trying to hold a conversation, and you're so important that you got to go talk to somebody else. I all these are distractions. They try to get you frustrated so you can just walk away from your purpose and that God will be glorified through your life. No, that's not going to happen with me.
Well, it's not because God keeps on raising you and elevating you higher and higher. We're almost running out of time, but look, Brother James, you got to give us that information again about your book. I'm going to have you back on, and we can go into part two of this very wonderful discussion and invite some questions and some callers to express their concerns as well. So give us your information again about your book, and we're going to then say sayonara.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you again. Yes, part two of Are You a Liability? to the kingdom of God? Are you a liability or an asset to the kingdom of God? Part two is titled, Are You Scattering God's Flock? It's now available at Amazon.com. I want to give a shout out to my youngest brother, Herbert Charles Brown. His book is titled, Don't Skip the Process, Making Life's Challenges Work for You.
All right.
And my